many questions and ask Catherine. First of all, I want to thank you for so many great article and links, and you can see from what we've got in Top Picks, we've been posting a lot of them. So thank you very much for sending. You guys are really great at sort of picking out Mr. Global Shenanigans, so I appreciate it. Question number one. Hello, Catherine. You speak often of the importance of knowing the flow of federal funds for your local communities, and your story about the fellow who was not interested in the subject until he discovered shenanigans happening in his own community. I'm sold on the idea, but since the software he developed is not available, the specifics of what meaningful data to collect and how to find it is a mystery. I don't know financial or government lingo that seems required to even read the published reports. Our county in Colorado has three elected commissioners, a sheriff's office, an elected treasurer, an elected clerk, and an elected assessor. Where do I even begin to unravel the government structure into something more transparent I can understand? Okay, it's very simple. Let me tell you where to start. Every state and local entity has a budget. So your county and your town are going to, depends on how they sort of have it structured, are going to have budgets. Budget is their plan for the year, and then they're going to have financial statements. And if I were you, I'd want to look at the local and state, both budgets and financial statements, and just start reading them. If you don't understand a word, go to Wikipedia and look up and learn that world, and just keep learning, writing down and learning those words until you get comfortable. Then, yeah, a great document for you to read is your state and your local governments probably have issued bonds. And every time they issue bonds, they have to have a bond official statement for investors. In addition to the state and the municipalities, you will also have public benefit corporations, and they issue official statements. So get those official statements. A lot of times the state or the local official statement will have an appendix on their economy, which has a lot of great statistics that'll teach you a lot about, sort of the local economy, top employers, things like that. Finally, there's something called the Consolidated Annual Financial Reports, CAFRs, which are required by the federal government, and the CAFR will show you a great deal of information about both state and local. So if you get budgets, financial statements, bond official statements, and the Consolidated Annual Financial Report, just start learning and just start writing down the words and getting comfortable with the terminology and just keep learning. And it's like unraveling an onion, and it's going to take you a while to do it if it's all new to you. So figure, give yourself 2 years. If you can find some other people to, get in a room and start doing it with you, particularly if you could get a good CPA or accountant, it would help. Then after you've done that, and you've sort of unraveled that, I would make an effort to understand the employers, investors, and foundations that are important in your area. You also probably have at the state and local level economic development departments or agencies, and they are oftentimes very eager to help you understand all the legal and governance structure, and then how all the money works. And, they're keenly interested in people helping to build the local economy. So they may also be a resource. So I would just start getting all the documents. These are all publicly available. And there's a wealth of information. You just have to, it's kind of not made accessible if you're not a financial person. But just start diving in and start learning. Question number two. In your upcoming Salaria report on entrepreneurship, you're going to be talking about the kind of products and services that you believe entrepreneurs can offer that may do well in the coming years. Yes and no. Here's the reality. If you look at the new technology, everything is going to be reinvented. So everything's a lot of stuff. It's hard to talk about everything. But, we will certainly touch on it. And Jason has a lot of thoughts on this topic. It's a very important one. But if you haven't, you might want to go back into the archives and get the different pieces I've done on Global 2.0 to 3.0. Dear Catherine, do you think that Donald Trump's role in our upcoming presidential election may be to divide the nation and anger a lot of people while paving the way for Hillary to become president? I clearly think Trump is being used to white out. He's white out serious discussion, white out a lot of the Republican contenders, I thought, for Bush, or white out for Hillary. Maybe he's just being used as an attractor. I don't know. It's clear from what happened in Iowa that the, you know, his whiteout role is being stepped down. So if ever there was a case of, you know, it's obvious that there's a game going on here. It's his how he pulled coming into Iowa and then how he performed in Iowa. Hi, Catherine. With the different changes in who in gold depositories, who would you recommend for a depository? I'll discuss that with Franklin Sanders. We have a precious metals market report coming up in 2 weeks, and so that's a good thing for us to go over. We did a special report. If you go to the Resource Center, you'll find there's a special report on precious metal storage. Since then, I've withdrawn my recommendation on gold money, which was one of them, but it's a very good piece to read for a description of what the issues are you're looking for in a depository and sort of how to analyze them. So take a look at that precious metal storage special report. I think that will help, and then I'll cover that with Franklin. Thank you for bringing that up. Dear Catherine, I've heard you say that the central banks are buying huge quantity of gold, also that you suspect that some off-planet entity may be taking the gold and trade for technology, their need for gold having nothing to do with money. This would normally suggest the price of gold would be high as the moon. No, that's not actually true. But it's been languishing in the 1,100 range for a long time. What don't I understand? In any case, what do you see for the future of gold as an investment? I'm aware of your distinction between an open and closed economy. You said that a number of people, assuming that we have a closed economy, I anticipated the price of gold rising as the stock market collapsed. But if, as seems likely, we have an open economy, then for some reason I don't grasp, the gold price would not rise, which it didn't. I don't get this. If there is a huge need for gold by these parties outside the economy, why wouldn't they drive that price much higher? Is the price not a function of supply and demand? Yes, but the supply would be, if our economy is open as opposed to closed, and I don't know that it is, it's certainly acting more like an open one, but if it is open, then supply and demand is, you know, we don't know what the supply factors are galactically, if you will. We may have, you know, I think the price ran up because somebody wanted to make a big trade, and I suspect that big trade was rebalancing the gold inventory globally in anticipation of doing a global digital currency. So they wanted to get the gold both for risk management. They wanted to spread it around. It's safer not in one place. And they needed it rebalanced if they were going to do a global currency. So I think that could have been the big trade, but it could have been many other things. I do think if the economy is open, then you're talking about a much larger, much more complex optimization. We have no idea what the supply and demand issues are. So I think, you know, I just think if you assume a closed economy, you need to make the assumption explicit and understand that we might be wrong. But again, if that trade was off-planet or if we stockpiled the gold and part of the trade was off-planet, then we're subject to supply issues off-planet. For all we know, that could drive the price down a lot because there could be oversupplies relative to pricings here. Anyway, a much larger discussion. I'm sure it's one Franklin does not want to have. The other thing is, I would encourage you to read my article, What Percentage of My Assets Should I Hold in Precious Metals? Because essentially, as nothing has changed since I've written that article. We are in an inflection point. What happens to gold this year very much depends on what happens to the dollar. And the dollar's come down 3 points, and the strong dollar may be over. But if it's not, and if you look at Rambus's charts, there's an argument that there's a reasonably good chance we could get another big step up. If we do get another big step up, then gold could take that dive to 700 to 900, and I'm still very wary about that. Again, I do think we're in a long-term bull market, but I don't know. I don't believe we've yet proved a bottom. The other thing is, so much of what happens to the dollar depends on military and governance issues that Dr. Farrell and I talk about. And frankly, I just don't. It gets back to this issue of is it an open and closed economy, and who's got what space weapons, and these are issues we can engage in conjecture on and we can speculate about, but it's very hard to get good information. Finally, if you look at what's happening in new technology, it could be unbelievably deflationary to gold and silver. So you want to be really, really careful. I just think if you look at what new technology can do and what the US dollar could do, we just have to be really careful. And when you take positions in something like gold and silver, you have to be prepared for wide variability in pricings in the short term and intermediate, even if it is in a bull market, which I, as I said in that article, I think there's a very strong chance that we're still in a long-term bull. Dear Catherine, I felt compelled to share this information after the tragedy in Oregon. A student of holistic range management and connected with many ranching families here in the West, there is very little understanding of the hard work and restoration on public lands being done by many in the ranching community. It sickens me to see how the Finicum family and the Bundys are maligned in the press, and very little knowledge of these people and the struggles to raise capital and keep an American heritage alive. I'm sure the actions of the federal government are part of Agenda 21. Alan Savory says it's appropriately as genocide of a culture. The article on range management was very good, and I posted it in the links in the Finicum commentary, so thank you for that. I too have been shocked at the not the the smears of those families in the press. That doesn't surprise me, having been smeared by. Remember, I was running a company that was getting 70 cents on the dollar, and there was a whole bunch of private interests that wanted to get the stuff for 30 cents on the dollar. And so they smeared and maligned anybody who's making them pay full price. And it's basically the Finicum and Bundys are preventing people from getting, government assets at below market price is my take on this. So it doesn't surprise me they're getting maligned by the people who want the, basically who want to steal resources, and find it very profitable to do so. So been there, done that. That doesn't surprise me. What does surprise me is the extent to which, very intelligent, capable people buy it. And people who know better, people who understand, the evilness of the leadership and the pro-centralization seem still, and it's very much a sort of red state, blue state kind of thing. People who 20 years ago would have called themselves progressive or voted Democrat, think these are right-wing wackos and terrible people. So I too have been surprised at the, how really wonderful people who are, sort of fighting for all of us are maligned by the general population they're fighting for because they fall prey to the stereotypes and the misleading of the press. But I don't know what to say except I couldn't agree more. And then they comment that this could be Agenda 21 related. I'm not saying it's not Agenda 21, but I think the problem is not Agenda 21. They want to do backdoor deals on the federal assets and federal land. Catherine, the resignation of the fire chief reflects, and this is back to the Finicum situation, what you and many others have experienced standing in your truth, the ranching community, the standard bearers, the Constitution that seem to be buried in urban America. I've met Ammon Bundy and Sheriff Mack, who are the unsung heroes in the struggle. Lavoie Finicum was murdered for his dedication. In an interview one day before his death, he recounts the increased federal harassment when the community was working towards a peaceful resolution. I suspect one of the reasons he may be executed was they were trying to broker a peaceful resolution and they wanted to stop that. So it wouldn't surprise me. And then they say, thanks for your commentary. So thankful I resubscribed. Well, we are too. Okay, next is kind of a comment. Check this out, Catherine. Promise you won't regret it. The words of the song are what's more important. I wonder if they are secret space boom folks. And the subscriber sent a link to a song by a rock group talking about all the people in the underground cities and showing a sculpture of It's a sculpture showing a guy coming out from under the earth. It's very interesting. So these ideas seem to be getting around. Next question. Would you comment about offshore storage of metals for those of modest means as purchasing power preservation tool? What countries and vaults, in your opinion, are reliable and safe? I did read your extensive 2010 piece on precious metals storage. In 5 years, has much changed? And then they point out, Lorraine Moray stated that in Rwanda, electronic frequencies were used against both black and white populace, which created familial and tribal violence. If I can find the link, I will send. Ooh, sounds great. They were referring to my discussion of the entrainment in the Kingsman movie, which everyone should watch, but please don't let your children see it. Question number 10, discussion about technical analysis. Again, I wanted to, a wonderful subscriber wrote in all sorts of very detailed comment about technical analysis, and I'm not going to repeat it here, but again, I find technical analysis, and I think Rambus is as good as it gets. So I'm thrilled that he's doing pieces. And if you haven't looked at his I'm calling it Blockbuster Chartology that we published at Slayer Report last week. It's really absolutely fantastic. I find it great for mapping out historical prices and flows, both short-term, intermediate, long-term. It really helps me get perspective on where the market's been. So I value that kind of technical analysis enormously. He uses it as a trading system. I worked very closely with somebody who tried to use technical analysis as a trading system. I consider it to be a completely lousy predictor because we're in a highly, if we were in a market economy, it would be one thing, but we're not. We're in a highly political, centralized economy, and things can and do change unpredictably all the time. Now, what I do find is having historical price inflows is invaluable for creating scenarios, because my way of dealing with the fact that you can't predict the future is to basically be prepared to deal with all possible scenarios, and it's really a probability game. So I don't find technical analysis helpful to tell me what to buy or why to buy it, but if I know what I want to buy, it's very helpful to help me figure out the timing of when to buy it. So... and certainly one of the things you really see when you look at the Rambus analysis that we published last week is the important inflection points, because the dollar could take very big moves up or down. And of course, whichever one it does, it could be a very dramatically different world. And that's back to the, as I said before, the variability of the scenarios that can happen in a multipolar world.